Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Matthew 26, 57 to 75. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 to 75. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Blasphemy! Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they shouted. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you are talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man." And immediately, the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he went away, weeping bitterly. My theme for reflection is when truth stands trial and grace restores the guilty. When truth stands trial and grace restores the guilty. Someone has commented that in every argument there are 3 versions of the story: yours, mine, and what actually happened. It sounds amusing until you realize how often truth is bent, rearranged, or even silenced to serve an agenda. In Matthew 26:57-75, we are taken into what can only be described in legal terms as a deeply flawed and prejudiced proceeding. Jesus is arrested and brought before the high priest Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the highest religious court of the land. But from the outset, this is no impartial hearing. The verdict has already been decided. What remains is to construct a case that justifies it. This is, in modern legal language, a kangaroo court, a trial where the conclusion precedes the evidence. The prosecution calls witnesses, but their testimonies are inconsistent and unreliable. The court, rather than dismissing the case for lack of credible evidence, persists until it finds a charge that can be manipulated. Finally, under oath, I charge you under oath by the living God, Jesus is compelled to testify. And here, the accused becomes the revealer of truth. You have said so. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power. His statement is not self-defense. It is divine disclosure. The court interprets truth as blasphemy, and the sentence, though not formally passed, has already been executed in their hearts. What is striking is Jesus' posture. He does not resist, argue, or retaliate. As foretold in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. This is not weakness, it is sovereign submission. The true judge stands silent before unjust judges because he is already committed to a greater purpose. And then in the courtyard, another trial unfolds. Not in a courtroom, but in the human heart. Peter, who had boldly declared his loyalty, now faces questioning from a servant girl and bystanders. There is no formal charge, no legal oath, just pressure, fear, and exposure. And yet, under far less strain than Jesus, Peter collapses. 3 times he denies even knowing the one he loves. When the rooster crows, the verdict is clear, not from a court, but from his own conscience. He goes out and weeps bitterly. This juxtaposition is powerful. Jesus stands firm under false accusation. Peter falls under simple association. It is a sobering reminder that courage in intention is not always courage in reality. For us today, especially in this Lenten season, the passage raises searching questions. We live in a world where truth is often negotiated, where reputations are judged quickly, and where people can be condemned before being heard. But more personally, we must ask, where do we stand when faith becomes costly? In public, we may align ourselves with Christ. But in quieter moments, at work, among friends, in difficult conversations, do we distance ourselves when it becomes uncomfortable? Reinhold Niebuhr once observed that man's capacity for justice makes democracy possible, but man's inclination to injustice makes democracy necessary. The trial of Jesus exposes both truths. The deep failure of human justice, and the greater need for divine mercy. But let us bring this closer to home. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where you were invited into a conversation that was supposedly about truth, yet the conclusion had already been drawn that you were the problem? How often have people sat across from you not to understand, but to confirm what they had already decided? And perhaps even more painfully, how many have experienced the quiet cruelty of narratives shaped in your absence, stories adjusted, witnesses arranged, facts bent, simply to bring you into disrepute or to protect the interests of others? These are not distant realities, they are deeply human ones. And the echo, in a sobering way, the experience of Christ himself, where accusation replaced truth and justice was overshadowed by agenda. Yet scripture does not leave us in that darkness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. The innocent is condemned so that the guilty may be restored. Even when human systems fail, divine grace prevails. Peter's failure too is not the end of his story. It becomes the doorway through which he encounters mercy. Now let me share a simple story as I bring this to a finish. A young professional found himself in a workplace where faith was quietly mocked. At first, he spoke openly about his beliefs, but over time, subtle comments and social pressure led him to withdraw. One day, when asked directly about his faith, he deflected the question, laughing it off. That evening, the weight of that moment settled on him, not as condemnation, but as conviction. Like Peter, he realized how easily fear can silence truth. But instead of despair, he chose to return, to speak honestly again, not perfectly, but faithfully. His failure became the beginning of a deeper courage. This is the hope of the passage, that even when we falter, even when we are misunderstood or misrepresented, Christ remains faithful. And in his faithfulness, we find the courage to stand again. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where in your life are you tempted to remain silent or distant when your faith is tested? Number two, how do you respond when you recognize your own moments of failure? Do you withdraw or do you return to Christ? And now our practical exercise for the day. Identify one situation where you can gently and faithfully acknowledge your faith, whether through words, actions, or integrity, and step into it with quiet courage. Lord Jesus Christ, you who stood firm in truth even when falsely judged, give us courage to stand with you in our daily lives. Forgive us for the moments we deny you in fear or silence. In this Lenten season, restore our hearts, strengthen our faith, and teach us to live with integrity and grace. And when we fall, remind us that your mercy is greater than our failure. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.